This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We're only halfway through January, but before we know it, spring will be here and it'll be time to get back in the fields. This morning we'll hear from Kyle Brazzi. Kyle is a farmer and an agronomy salesperson for CHS Shipman, and we discussed what options CHS has available to help farmers have a successful spring.
We are starting to think about what we're going to have to take care of here in the next few months. So the first thing in my mind is wheat, as I sit here today. We're starting to think about evaluating stands, making sure we've got enough plants there. If we don't, we may need to go in a few fields and add a little nitrogen early as soon as we get ready to break dormancy. By doing that, we can induce some tillering on those plants and get our stands and population where we need it to be. The majority of the nitrogen we'll want to apply a little bit later, closer to that late FEEX 5 time frame when the plants get ready to have some nodes on the stem. We'll add the majority of our nitrogen then when we're going to be using it in the plant. So the longer we can push that off and get as close to that time as we can, and we realize at CHS that we have to work with the weather windows, so we have to be able to carry in the field and evaluate that all as we're going. And after that, we're going to talk about weeds, what we're seeing in winter annual pressure in those wheat fields to make sure we're catching all those concerns as well.
Has there been any concerns with the warmer weather that we've been seeing with that winter wheat planted? Not until here recently have we really had a cold snap to make that wheat become dormant. Were there any concerns about that?
Absolutely, we had concerns with that. So we planted relatively early to on time, but we were so dry that we saw this uneven emergence throughout some of the fields, especially the ones that were under conventional tillage. And then with the absence of winter, pretty much through the entire month of December, we saw, some uneven growth in those fields. And some plants that did come up early, they really got very big. And so without those going into dormancy, in some cases further south, I've talked to some growers where the stems actually on the wheat had some joints. And if that's the case, that's really hard for that plant to overwinter and still be a viable plant in the spring. So we have that to look at. Now, where I'm scouting at in our area, I feel really good about our wheat. The flooding was a little bit of a concern. The water left pretty fast, and we didn't get very cold while the water was on the plants. So for the most part, I feel good about where I'm working in CHS.
Kind of switching gears now, something else that CHS can help farmers prepare for is fertility plans.
Yeah, we're working on fixing up fertility plans, so some of that went on in the fall. We work really diligently to not spread on any frozen soil, so we're going to wait for spring thaw, and then we'll start finishing up those plans for guys' corn and soybeans and that wheat nitrogen that we discussed earlier.
Also, things that you'll be focusing on is chemical application as well.
Yes, that really warm season that we've had the majority of the winter has given some winter annuals the chance to really grow and get some fields that they really look green. And we'll need to address some of that as we go into the spring. And there's some options that are pretty reasonably as far as financials go. We can take care of that problem for guys, help get those out of those fields before they go in and do their spring tillage.
Going hand in hand with the fertility and the chemical application is also farmers' seed needs.
Yeah, we're hearing some guys talk about that too, where they're maybe shifting some acres, not exactly sure if they want more corn and beans. As we have agriculture in a little bit of a tight economic picture right now, guys aren't exactly sure which way they're going to go. So we're addressing those plans too, making adjustments for guys. Also talking about seed treatments on beans, which ones seem to pay the most this past year. And I would encourage everyone to just talk to their crop advisor on that. And I know that it's different in different areas and soil types and pressures that we have with disease and insects to help kind of tailor make those recommendations field by field.
Any new seed options that are available this year that farmers might be looking forward to?
Well, we're hopeful. Hopeful is kind of a big word there, too, in this extend market as to whether or not we'll have the ability to use some of those dicamba-like products on some beans. So I don't know if we'll have approval in time to get any of those in. We certainly hope to be able to do more plot work and evaluation of those products as we think about weed resistance to the glyphosate. I think that's going to be a pretty big player for all of the seed industry as we move forward.
Anything that I haven't asked you already that you might like to add, either about preparing for spring or anything about CHS in general?
We appreciate the opportunity to work with the growers in our area and always want to remind everybody to stay safe and make sure that they make it home at the end of the day. So it's very important to us and our company. Safety is a big piece for us.
Kyle Brazzi, agronomy salesperson for CHS Shipman. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, published the federal rule yesterday implementing a marine aquaculture fishery management plan for the Gulf of Mexico. The Illinois Soybean Association welcomes the plan, which creates a permitting and development process for offshore aquaculture in the Gulf of Mexico federal waters. The Illinois Soybean Checkoff has worked to build aquaculture, which is a rapidly growing market for soybean meal. The U.S. currently imports 91% of the seafood that we eat, according to Tim Skates, who is a farmer from Carmi, Illinois, and an Illinois Soybean Association director and representative to the Soy Aquaculture Alliance. He says that allowing carefully managed aquaculture in the Gulf of Mexico will provide a market for soybeans and a domestic source of sustainable fish. Aquaculture operations can replace marine-based fish meal with soybean meal, a proven renewable protein alternative. The Illinois Soybean Association worked with a broad coalition of organizations to support commercial open ocean aquaculture. The National Marine Fisheries Service, a division of NOAA, will implement the rule beginning February 12th of this year, carefully managing production farms to protect oceanic ecosystems. The U.S. House passed a joint resolution to disapprove the Waters of the U.S. rule under a Congressional Review Act. The measure passed the House by a vote of 253-166. The resolution cleared the Senate last November, but faces a certain veto by the president that the resolution likely lacks the votes to override. Still, House Agriculture Chair Mike Conaway claimed passing the resolution was a critical step to reworking the WOTUS rule. The resolution, if signed by the president, would nullify the rule submitted by the EPA and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to redefine waters of the United States under the Clean Water Act. The rule, which took effect in August of last year, remains on hold by the federal courts. That's all for your WSMI Farm Show this morning. I'm Katie Bowles.